Having trouble finding affordable, fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe, located in the McMillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad. No, that's all that is.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show this week, hosted by myself and joined by co-host Connor Neckelpot. How you doing, mate?
No, I'm doing very well. I'm very happy to be here this evening. This is our second to last live broadcast.
It's sad. Well, technically we got one other, but it won't be a brand new episode of sketch comedy. It'll be a bit of a repeat stuff, but still good stuff.
So don't listen to it later.
If you, for some crazy reason, listen to every single episode, no, don't. But otherwise, I'm sure you'll enjoy
it. There'll be some good chit-chat, some good music, so actually, don't miss it.
Don't miss it, yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Connor. but yes, without further ado, I think it's time for some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Acid Reflux Tablets, the fast way to ignore your impending doom. First up tonight is the news report.
Good evening and welcome to Foxy Friends. I'm Magic Mike.
And I'm Jennifer's Body. The headlines tonight.
President Trump has named a new Secretary of State, Emperor Palpatine.
And a man from Washington has successfully lost 80 pounds without announcing it on Facebook.
However, our main story tonight is the news that BC high schools have dropped final exams from the curriculum after a parents group complained that standardized testing was unfair on stupid children.
After several hours of debate in the provincial legislative assembly, opponents of the changes decided they couldn't be bothered to argue anymore.
Our reporter Gloria Hyman spoke with the leader of the parent group titled Association of Helicopter Parents, Stephen Uptight.
Hi, Stephen. Can you please explain your controversial position on the issue of formal examinations?
Controversial? I don't think it's controversial to want what's best for your child. My Jonathan tries really hard in school, but averages a C in examinations, and it's really hurting his ego.
Does a lack of standardized testing not distort a child's self-perception and set them up for larger disappointment down the road?
No, it doesn't, because my next battle is to remove testing from universities, too.
Could that not lead to poor professional standards in important areas such as medicine, engineering, and whatever it is philosophy students do?
As long as my son is happy, I don't care.
For now.
Pardon?
Happy for now. Inevitably, he will find out the truth at some point. Unless, of course, you smother him to death first.
How dare you? Just because my mother died of asphyxiation in my care doesn't mean I'm gonna do it again!
Did standardized testing hurt you when you were growing up?
No. Well, I felt bad. I only ever beat the special needs kid. And punching him didn't make me feel much better.
But you grew and learnt from it, realized perhaps academic careers weren't for you at an age where you could change vocation and aim for an attainable career.
Oh, stop using so many big words!
This is Gloria Hyman reporting from the edge of sanity.
I always did well in school exams because I studied hard at how to break into my teacher's office and steal the answers. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back!
Good evening, Elvis and Dolly.
Hey, pretty mama.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, I love those drinks. Go great with my affliction t-shirt.
Quiet, Elvis. We have a pressing matter to get to. A militia group, who go by the name Don't Tread on My D, have captured a small town in Oregon and refuse to surrender to the CIA. We need you to infiltrate and assassinate the leader of the group, Ted Nugent.
The musician?
Barely.
The very same.
Why us?
Well, they are a bunch of hillbillies. You should fit right in.
Hey, I'd take offense to that, if it wasn't mostly true.
Ah, this is the bit I always hate.
Trying to slip past their defenses?
No, walking. My thighs always rub together.
Try having to be your tits.
Hey, no one made you get those.
Same goes for those thunder thighs you're rocking.
I have a glandular problem. My glands are full of fat.
Oh shit, look, there's the perimeter.
Damn, I count 8 gunmen.
There's at least 20.
Yeah, I can't count that high.
Oh, there's no way we're getting in there.
Hey, don't be such a negative Nancy. All we need is a little distraction.
Oh, not the C4 again.
Nah, I'm saving that for the king of the bigots once we get in there. I'm thinking we draw out some of these guys, you know, disembowel them, and then we walk straight in.
Won't that raise alarms if we gut several of their guards?
I did not think of that. Okay, how about we walk up and say we want to join their cause?
That might actually work.
See, I'm not just a pretty face.
Oh, I never said you were one of those.
Halt. Friend or hoe? I mean foe.
Friend.
I'd say a little of column A, a little of column B.
Do you believe in a free America?
Well, that's a bit of a broad question. Perhaps if you defined your terms better, I could give you an answer.
You're not coming in, fat boy. Lady, you can share my bunk.
Oh, wait, no, never mind. I mean...
Get in the gate now!
Oh, shit. Elvis, don't leave me.
A lot of dudes are pointing their guns at me. Maybe I'll just come back.
No, don't. I ain't got any weapons, damn it.
Sorry. Really sorry.
Oh, you fucking coward. Come back.
Don't worry. We'll take real good care of you.
God damn it. I should have kept my job at the Denny's.
Oh, Agent Lexington, come in. Lexington, come in.
Roger that. Lexington speaking. Over.
I fucked up. They got Dolly.
Well, then I'm calling in for reinforcement.
Oh, please, not him.
He's our only hope.
Ah, goddammit.
Hang tight. Bono is on the way.
We shall return to the adventures of Elvis Presley, Dolly Parton, and of course, Bono, later in the show. Next up tonight, someone is in trouble with HR!
Hey, guys. I know this is uncomfortable, but we need to discuss this problem face to face.
What problem?
Well, Luke here has brought it to my attention that there is a problem between you two.
Oh, this again. Look, I farted on his lunch tray once, and he won't shut up about it.
I got pink eye from it!
How is that even possible?
Guys, it's not that, though, ooh, gross. What it is, Julie, is that Luke informs me that you've been sexually harassing him in his cubicle.
What? Get out!
You have!
When?
Every single time I talk to you, all you do is stare at my groin!
Well, yeah, if you'll insist on wearing such tight pants.
And it's not just that. He also told me you make suggestive remarks to him.
Like what?
You said, nice ass, I bet it tastes good too.
Well, that's a compliment, jeez!
You also said, I bet I can make you come before your Uber does.
Well, now that's just a fact.
It makes me very uncomfortable. And I have a girlfriend too.
What, that cross-eyed girl with the hairy lip?
Me and Redwina are very happy.
Fuck off. That cannot be her name.
Shut up about Redwina.
Stop it. You're killing me here.
Helen, do something.
Julie, apologize now or I will have no choice but to suspend you from work.
For what? Complimenting someone? Offering to give this poor sap the night of his life?
Redwina knows some stuff you could never imagine. She grew up in a carnival.
What, as the bearded lady?
That's it. You're suspended, Julie. With pay, of course. We're union here.
Fine. Whatever. I'll just go give my attention to someone who deserves it. There's some builders next door. Oh, the ass cleavage on them.
I'm always careful to avoid ass cleavage, especially on builders. Next up tonight, we return to the adventures of my distant cousin, Dick Whiteless.
I bet everyone else is having more fun than me. Ooh, the mail's here. Let's see. Death threat. Eviction notice. Ooh, coupons. Oh, they're for money off coffins. Well, better keep them just in case. Come in.
Mr. Whiteless?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. President Trump, what are you doing here?
I need your help. I've lost something.
Oh, well, if Melania has left, I can't force her to come back.
No, not that. I've lost something else far more important.
Oh, my God, you've lost the nuclear codes.
No, I keep them in my nightstand. Chet, probably shouldn't have told you that. Anyway, no, what it is that I've lost is my dignity.
I see. And when did you lose it?
Around 1994.
Oh dear. And where was it you lost it?
Oh, on television.
Oh, that is tricky. Let me see what I can do. Well, Mr. Trump, I looked everywhere. Under your couch, behind the toilet, inside the Republican puppet master's pockets, but it can't be found.
But I gave you $2 million. Are you trying to say lots of money can't buy you dignity? This is a huge problem. I need my dignity. I already sold my soul to the devil.
Well, you could try being a compassionate and distinguished leader of the USA.
Or I could just sue your ass.
Let me keep looking.
Oh dear, hopefully Dick finds his dignity soon. Or at least a very good lawyer. Next up tonight is an interview!
Good evening and welcome to Political Pattern. I'm Kyle Humperdinck, and tonight I'm joined by social activist and professional unpaid blogger, Niles Knows-It-All. Good evening, Niles.
Hello, Kyle.
So tell the listeners about your latest campaign for social justice.
Well, it's dead easy, Kyle. After the success of my campaign to introduce body positivism to television, I set my sights on a larger target. No pun intended. I am campaigning to introduce more ugly people to television.
What, is Gary Busey not enough?
Well, he's more of a movie star. Perhaps star is a stretch, but he's in them. And that's beside the point. We need a broader spectrum of appearances on the little screen. The introduction of high definition has only exacerbated the problem, and something has to change.
But will people want to watch programming with such off-putting personas?
Of course. The United Kingdom has been a trailblazer in this area for years. Look at the success there. Ricky Gervais is a millionaire, and we all know who Jim Broadbent is.
Who?
Never mind. The point is, actors should be picked on talents over looks.
But then everything would be starring Steve Buscemi and Willem Dafoe.
Perfect! It would also add to the realism. Grey's Anatomy is ludicrous. No one can work the hours of a doctor and still earn the name McDreamy. If we're lucky, they might earn the name McSix out of 10.
But TV isn't real. Everyone knows that.
Do they? Does it not create the delusion of unattainable beauty standards that are out of reach? Now, don't get me wrong. Lots of people are fuckable. But that does not make them TV hot.
But TV is an escape from reality. Must we suffocate it in realism?
Yes, for the sake of our sanity and self-esteem. Let's round up these genetic freaks and replace them with a different kind of genetic freak.
Does this mean I'll have a chance of making it big?
No, you'd still need to sleep your way to the top.
I've never wanted to be an actor, but I'd love to be a tractor. Next up tonight, Kyle and Neil are back.
Cole, what are you doing?
Smoking some weed like rappers do.
That's oregano.
Yeah, some real dank shit.
It's not gonna get you high.
Well, it's doing something. I feel totally nauseous.
And you meant to roll it in cigarette paper, not newspaper.
What's wrong with that? It gets you high, and it's educational.
Put it out. I've got a plan.
Oh, what's the point? We always muck it up.
Nah, this one is solid gold.
Ooh, just like Mum's teeth.
Well, they were. I nicked most of them. See that security van?
Yeah.
They're loading it up with money from the cash machine. When they're done, we leap out with these knives and we rob the lot.
Yeah, but these knives are sharp. What if someone gets hurt?
Oh, I'll be fine. They aren't sharp, see?
Ow, I'm bleeding!
Okay, they're a little sharp. Quiet, here they come.
Hurry up, Dave. Oh, I need a shit.
Well, if you insist on eating Taco Bell...
Hand over the cash, dickheads.
Fuck no.
Shit!
Ah! I'm hit, Neil!
Oh, my God, I can see your insides.
Oh, you want some more tough guys?
It was a joke, see? Fake knives! Ow! Why did I do that? Now I'm bleeding even more! Neil! Help me! Neil? Oh, the fucking shit!
There is no honor among thieves. Or CEOs, for that matter. Next up tonight, we return to the exciting conclusion of Elvis, Dolly and Bono.
Well, well, well. Look who needs help from his old friend Bono.
Ah, shut the hell up.
Be nice. I'm here to help.
Whatever. I ain't one of your starving Africans, you megalomaniac.
You called me.
It's Dolly that needs rescuing.
So, how are we gonna do this? Stealthy sneak into the base?
Nah, fuck that. It's time to go nuclear. But the CIA won't give me any nukes, so instead, we're gonna make do with 80 pounds of C4 and these chain guns.
Wait, isn't there like 20-odd guys armed to the teeth in there?
Exactly. Strap up.
We're just gonna walk up to the front gate?
Ah, don't worry. I already set up a little distraction. Hey, assholes, come out and say hi to one legend and his pasty Irishman.
We told you to get lost, boy.
Who you calling, boy? I'm 82 years old.
Get the hell out of here.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
About what?
God damn you, Elvis!
Why would it? I am God, motherfucker!
Good job, my robot legs help me to dodge bullets!
Are you wearing a Kevlar vest?
They were Kevlar vests?
Oops, sorry. Okay, looks like we got them all.
I don't think so, you commie pieces of shit.
Ted fucking Nugent.
The very same.
Oh, not him. He's a bigger twat than the Edge.
The Edge is a twat?
Well, no, not really. He's just the most boring man in the world.
Hey, are you two about done? You're stealing focus.
Whatever, you xenophobic Trump fluffer.
Fuck you, I got your lady.
My lady? What is this, the 1950s? You have captured my colleague, you misogynistic asshole.
Christ, you know someone is backwards when they make Elvis look progressive.
Fuck both of you.
Wouldn't the Bible be against that?
What? No, you know what I meant.
Where's Dolly, asshole?
Nice and safe in my bunker.
You got a bunker? What are you, Hitler?
Oh, it's much nicer than Hitler's. We got cable, gotta have me my daily Fox and Friends, and trust me, no woman could escape from that thing. I tied her up with a double knot.
Think again, you white trash Republican puppet. God damn, I make this look easy.
Oh, I'm so turned on right now.
If any Ted Nugent fans were offended by that last piece, good. Now you know how the rest of us feel. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, Caitlin Docking, Nick Rinker, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by no one.
All right, there you have it. That was the White Noise Show, the penultimate sketch show that we're writing. Which is bittersweet, of course, but we will have one more huge episode to come, which is gonna be massive.
It might be 23 minutes.
It's gonna be longer than that, I swear. we're gonna bring back every sort of reoccurring character that we've had throughout the last 3 years. We're gonna do all sorts of interesting stuff on it. It's gonna be really fun. That's gonna air August 23rd. And the week before, August 16th, we're going to air a very special episode as well. So tune in to those two. Next week, we are off the air. But we got two specials coming up after that, so make sure you stay tuned for those. But of course, coming up right now is the White Noise After Show, right after this diatribe. So it's definitely worth sticking around for. I'm very excited for that. We've got some awesome music coming up and some great topics for discussion. And, of course, we've got Connor Neckleper in the studio joining us.
I'm here, and that really is an honour. Not for me, and the listeners.
There's no need to take the piss. Like. but, yeah, thanks for joining us. What do you think of that show? It wasn't bad, eh?
No, it was definitely, I would say, top five.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for the last month.
I do try.
It came together nicely. The fight at the end, very satisfying, very realistic.
Yeah, I was quite excited. I was quite excited to do that and to like pull the effects in and the slaughter and chaos.
How do you reflect on your time, your editorship? You've been editing now for most of the time, what is it, like 2.5 years maybe?
Yeah.
How have you measured your progress since the beginning?
I'm definitely a lot quicker and doesn't take me as long. And I think it's definitely slicker than it ever, especially when we started, Jesus Christ. But, like, it's, yeah, like, you know, found lots of shortcuts and found ways to make things work better.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the sketches, they do feel quite authentic. So I made a lot of Yeah, props to you for putting in a lot of effort and, yeah, killing it.
Cheers. Cheers. Thanks very much. All right, enough of sucking Simon's cock. Let's play a song. So first up tonight is American Lips. Speaking of sucking, with Beyond the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
there we go. That is Child Actress with Monogamy off Milking a Dead Cow. And of course, before that was American Lips with Beyond the 7-Eleven from Kiss the Void. Two great tracks there. Really
enjoyed those. Yeah, no, really solid. Really dug those.
Good start. Good start. All right. So our first topic of the night on the White Noise After Show is something directly from White Noise this week, which we haven't done much lately.
We've managed to be more original with our topics more recently.
Yeah, but what we'd like to talk about first is, are tests good for students? Of course, within the province of BC, we've seen the removal of the majority of provincial examinations from high school students. When I was in high school, if you wanted to go to university, you had to take them in all the subjects, basically all your academic subjects, so history, English, maths, three different sciences. And you could take them in French and a few other topics. And of course, it was certainly some stress to it and everything, but if you wanted to go to university, it definitely prepared you for the stresses of final exams in university and all that fun.
So the question we're asking here is we're talking about standardized testing.
Yeah,
right?
is standardized testing
a good idea?
Good for students. What do we think?
It's funny. It definitely has. It's a very loaded question, as you mentioned in the sketch. You know, not everyone is suited through their biology and through their experiences to be able to sit down and really focus for, like, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, however long the exam takes, potentially in different subjects, potentially in one subject, and really focus and be critical and write concisely and intelligently in a short amount of time with little preparation. A lot of people just aren't, you know, they haven't been raised in that way. Their biology makes it difficult for them to do that. So in some ways, it definitely puts some people at a disadvantage, and I can't say who those people are. I mean, it just kind of depends on who you are at the time you take the test, how you've come together as a person. But at the same time, in terms of being able to get a grasp of not only the students' levels, but trying to have some measure of educational consistency across a broad area, whether that's BC or all of Canada or all of the United States, having some level of standardized testing hopefully helps the people who are organizing, you know, the scholarly government boards, helps them present them with a barometer of how well across the region students are learning and how well they're being able to prove results in that. And hopefully that's going to help impact some decisions that will hopefully give either more funding to schools or will help establish new programs for underdeveloped schools. So as long as it isn't absolutely about testing the student's ability, because everyone has different talents and abilities in different ways, not all of them are being able to sit down and do a multiple choice or written test. If it's a barometer for success that students can reflect on without the penalty of marks, simply as a barometer of their own success, as well as the broad student success across a broad area of different, like, scholarly institutions, I don't think they're necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I feel like they are a necessity if you are going to university, because with the current system, it's kind of ludicrous that you've got like a 95% average coming into UBC in some faculties. And it's just, what that means is, you know, without having provincials, how can we possibly know that a 95% in the Bing high school, a secondary school, one of the local ones, Lord Bing, how can we know that that's the same as getting 95% at Kelowna Secondary School, the other side of the province? We really can't deduce that. Who know? You know, some teachers mark easy, some teachers mark hard.
Some teachers give easy tests, yeah. Some teachers give hard tests.
It's true.
Some teachers are good teachers, some teachers are bad teachers.
Quite. So really, we need some standardization, as you say, not just for entry into universities, but also for the awarding of scholarships and things like that.
A reflection on how society is faring in a certain sense.
Quite. And of course, yes, not making standardized testing necessary for everyone is also important, in that there are many people who I think should be in a system similar to the British system, where at 16 you're sort of in a fork in the road there, and you can choose whether to continue in an academic education or you can choose to go into a more hands-on vocation, whether it's becoming a technician of some sort, whether that's, you know, it could be anything. It could be cooking, it could be mechanical, it could be becoming an IT technician, whatever it may be, that doesn't require the university education, but requires specialist training, which you can start at 16 rather than wasting another 2 years pretending, or at least just hanging out in school, waiting for it to be over when you're kind of outgrown it already.
Yeah. As long as you have the opportunity to sort of choose either way, and then after that, like, double back if you actually feel like you made a bad decision. I totally agree that, you know, I think from an early age, people should be able to, you know, have a broad, like, spectrum of, like, basic education, but be able to choose kind of, like, what kind of things they specialize in, pursue their interests a bit more. If you want to do a bit more art, you want to do more PE, you want to do a little bit more of engineering and, like, woodwork, yeah, you should be able to do some of those and kind of lose a little bit, not everything, but a little bit of, I mean, the English, maybe a little bit of the maths.
But do you not think that you then have outside pressures to choose the more academic things? Like, I'd probably myself at 14, 15 would have been more inclined to do more mechanics. I loved cars,
for sure.
Muck around with cars. But I'm sure my parents would have leaned on me a little more and be like, well, maybe you should do some more maths,
and
some
that's,
science,
and that's
some
a
English.
Fair point. I mean, is it the child's choice? Or is there peer pressure from society, their parents, their teachers, to make a choice which is not in their interest? Is it easier to avoid the choice and say, this is just the way it is, you do this?
Well, I think that perhaps an impartial person should make that choice, in that I don't think parents should be leaning on people to do things, children on to do things they don't want to do, and children shouldn't make those choices based on the pressure of parents. They should be based on their own abilities, which you can objectively observe through testing, and make a impartial decision if you're not the parents of that
then
child.
You're hopefully pretty far removed from that environment, yeah, in a certain sense.
You know, I mean, it's always sad when parents love the child they want rather than the child they have. But hopefully, this is one way we can mitigate that problem. But I also think that we shouldn't necessarily put tons of value on how well people do in high school and exams. And of course, we should relieve some of that pressure because, yeah, if you do make mistakes, if you don't work really hard, there is always time to adjust and fix that later down the road. Like, there's always this pressure in high school here and everywhere to pick a career and a path at 16, 17 and stick to it. And to make all these decisions, and, you know, those exams you take are seen as the be-all and end-all. But even if you cock up all of your grade 12 and your grade 11 here, you can go to a college and reset a lot of those classes if you want to get better marks to then apply to a good university. Or you could just wait 4 years, apply as a mature student, and like I did, get in with like a B average to UBC because you write a nice letter saying how your life experiences helped you become a good citizen and get into uni. And I mean, it's true that mature students generally do better. I mean, I'm about to graduate here in 4 years, which is good. A lot of people do drop out. A lot of people don't last that long. So it's never too late to change your mind or change what you're doing. And I think, you know, that's something we need to emphasize with students in high school.
Yeah, and just to quickly follow up with that as well, I totally agree. And like standardized testing in some ways, it kind of leaves a bit of a stain. If you don't do very well, like, you know, because you're in the eyes of yourself, in the eyes of your parents or peers, it can kind of leave a little bit of like an ego stain on you for many years. Whereas if we decrease the pressure on it, decrease the level of stress about how this is the make or break exam, you know, the exams would be taken, I think, a little bit more seriously in a certain way. I think that they'd be more reflective of general circumstance and be less attuned to just the environment that someone grows up in, which often they can't help.
I think you have to be careful because you mentioned earlier with the idea of like adjusting school budgets and stuff based on exam results, or at least, you know, funding in different areas. But you've got to be careful with that because then the school becomes geared towards that, and the school...
Oh, I mean, there's so many variables. You're absolutely right. People can manipulate that sort of system, absolutely. Like, and I don't imagine that any, you know, board of directors for the provincial school fund is like inherently absolutely impartial. I'm sure they do have some biases towards schools they went to, towards schools which they want to prep up a bit more and stuff like that. But just at least it gives the people in charge, hopefully, a barometer of, like, who's doing well, who's not doing so well. And then hopefully using that information, attempts can be made, whether they achieve their results or not, hopefully, to remedy people that are struggling or to learn from those that are doing well and be able to reteach those practices.
One last sort of connected idea is, do you think that we should have
sets in school. It's not something they really do here except for AP, which is you can get in advanced placement classes, and obviously they're for the higher achieving students. But for the most part, like, you know, if you're not in an advanced placement, then you're basically in an English class with a completely broad spectrum of abilities. And I found that quite frustrating as a student because I felt the pace of the class was really slow because it was done at a pace that everybody, of course, could follow.
Yeah.
But, you know, as somebody who...
In a certain sense, it hits the lowest common denominator.
Exactly. And I find that quite frustrating. And I feel like that could put off a lot of students who have a bit more energy and a bit more attention span and, you know, are encouraged. And I just don't think they're encouraged enough by that system.
I totally see a lot of merit in that. Yeah.
And it can go the other way too. Absolutely. In that, like, those that are struggling are in a class that's maybe a little too quick for them, they're going to be put off as well. So I feel like having classes in...
Like a three-tiered kind of...
Yeah, we had four sets in my school where it was... So the children of a similar ability were in classes together. Therefore, it meant then that you always were in a class that was at a pace that was good for you.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, the thing as well, I guess the challenge was that is obviously the idea that some people could feel, you know, because they're in the slow class, they feel more inferior to others. People in the fast class might feel themselves more superior to others. And you don't want to make that an aspect of the school community. So that's something that should hopefully be taught and kind of avoided, that everyone, no matter what their level is, like, you know, should be treated with respect, has their own level of intelligence that's different. Maybe you could even say, hey, like, you know, every child needs to be in two, like, superior sets, like two regular sets and two slow sets,
but
they get to choose which one is best for them.
Well,
what
usually happened was you might be in a lower sets for certain things, but yeah, just by natural ability, of course, you're not going to be in set four for everything.
Yeah,
there were kids that were maybe in a lot of lower sets, but then they, you know, in PE and stuff, they were in set one, or in woodwork, or, you know, there was something that was their, you know, within their wheelhouse, and they were in a high set four, and they could be proud of that. You know, everybody has some ability that puts them ahead of other people. You just need to find that, and, you know, that's fine tuning that system to make sure people do have that, whether it's music or art, or there's always something that people excel at, always.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I think it's time for another song, and we'll come back with some more chit chat. Next up tonight, we're gonna play another great band. I'm really excited for this track. This is Dance Movie and their song Nosebleed.
Thank you.
There we go. That was Crystal Eyes with Already Gone from the Female Imagination. And before that was Dance Movie with Nosebleed from Pierce. Yeah. Two very good tracks again.
Yeah, no, music's been really solid tonight, Simon. Good picks.
It's because I picked it. So our next topic for tonight, another one related to our show tonight. And this one obviously was done a little bit tongue-in-cheek, sort of. But I think it's actually a fairly good question to ask, which is, does TV need more ugly people? Because, of course, you know, you, like, there, and I don't think this is necessarily a problem across the board. As we mentioned, we picked at, like, UK television, and they typically, like, you watch Coronation Street and things like that. It's normal-looking people for the most part. But American TV, and especially certain networks, seem to have a horrible sort of
reputation
for only putting up plastic looking Californian people. Like, have you ever watched anything on the CW? My God.
Hey, I can tell you that Jersey Shore was not starring Californians.
But yeah, so it's, I think it's a fair question to ask. What do you think, Connor?
I mean, it builds on, I think, two questions, two important philosophical questions, and that is, what do we expect as an audience? What do we expect from television, film, entertainment like that? Do we expect to relate to it and it is like a sense of reality, like a story for us to learn from? Or are we looking, are we watching it for, you know, distraction, entertainment? A certain level of beauty. Beauty and art are very, linked terms. So in a certain sense, film and television being art, naturally, a lot of people are going to want beauty out of that. And that often comes in the form of either just quality cinematography or quality people who are doing the acting in terms of aesthetics. And so I think the big question is, what do we want as audiences? I'm sure everyone has a different answer to that question. I personally think, I think much perhaps like yourself, that I want to watch television and film to learn, to see, like, to witness stories, to become to be involved in, you know, the lives of these other characters who are hopefully either grounded in some sort of like fantasy, crazy fantasy, or else like really emotionally sort of gripping sort of drama or comedy as well. But comedy is never usually quite an issue for the good lookers or the non good lookers.
That's true, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
But then also the second question is as well is what do the TV programmers and owners, the networks, the production teams, the casters, the directors, all those people who are involved in making these products, do they have responsibility? Like, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to portray reality, or are they trying to just make a lot of money? Because arguably, like they do, you know, if they put a lot of sexy looking people up on the screen, that might make you a bit more money, maybe, because everyone's kind of seen a good gripping drama here and there. And so once you've seen one, you kind of see them all, which is definitely.
But everybody who was watched Broadchurch has said it's amazing. And no one said, oh, there wasn't enough hot people in
it. No, absolutely. And perhaps that's a cultural thing, as you well pointed out.
But but people even here have said the same thing. Like, no, everybody, you know, everybody here who's got a Netflix account has seen Broadchurch and said it was brilliant. And so I think it's there is the option there for it. It's just that it's easier and lazier to just put attractive people.
Well, and that's the trade-off, right? It's, can you achieve the same quality with someone who's more attractive? Because if you can hit both quality and like objective attractiveness, you're kind of like a win-win on, like, well, people watch this because it's interesting and really great and gripping, and some people watch this because they like the eye candy. If you can find someone who's less attractive than one of the other potential candidates, but just performs much better, that's a question of taste. And I think, I would like to say it's a meritocracy. We should value people who have talent over people who just look more attractive. That's my personal view. But a lot of people might be different. I think a lot of people would very much prefer to see gripping stuff and be entertained by realistic content. But I think a lot of people, in particular parts of the United States, particular parts of Canada and the UK, I'm sure, at least every now and again, they want a little bit of eye candy.
And I mean, going back to comedies, though, as well, is, you don't see necessarily a lot of attractive men in comedy, but their partners tend to, like, you know, you see a lot of, like, big chubby dudes with, like, smoking hot wives. Like, we could think of millions of examples of that, like King of Queens, the entire cast of The Big Bang Theory. It's comedy kind of does that trade-off where it's like, well, we'll put in a hot girl and then we'll have the actual funny guy, which is frustrating because there are lots of funny women out there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a shame for the individual, you know, for the person who loves what they do, to be cast aside or not considered enough because they don't hit the double margin of quality and attractiveness, and especially when they get overlooked because despite their superior quality, they're not seen as attractive enough. Yeah. I think there's definitely, it's a slight to the individual. That's a stain on anyone who works hard and believes in a meritocracy, sort of meritocratic, I guess, sort of system of reward and justice. So I definitely think, you know, for those people in the industry, it's a real shame. And so hopefully, you know, they can write and people can boycott and there can be movements to make those production companies who are so focused on choosing attractiveness, either in combination or in preference to talent, to try and change their ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is, as long as they keep making money, nothing will change.
And that's the challenge, yeah. And there's always going to be some people who are a little less attractive who will make it because their quality is just outstanding. But it won't be everyone. And that's a shame. That's a hard divide to measure. Because, of course, as well, the quality of your talent is a little subjective. And that's an easy facade for anyone who goes, oh, well, yeah, this very talented lady is clearly just as talented as you. I see it personally. But also there's some truth in that as well. And not everyone will be up for every single role. And some people do massively well at certain roles and not as well as other roles.
And I'm not denying that there are definitely people who are attractive and good actors.
Absolutely.
And they're bastards. Bastards like Tom Hardy and Ryan Gosling and Brad Pitt. You're like, well, just fuck you, mate.
Hey, Tom Hardy's well good.
All right. Before we go, let's one last quick question. There was a lady, a really sweet story in the news today about a lady who her dying wish was to have a mocha chocolate milkshake from her favorite place in Ohio, and they shipped it across overnight for her across the country, and she got it. It's really sweet, and it made me think, well, it's a good little quick question for the end. What would be your dying wish at this point in your life? Obviously, it will change as you grow and old, but like right now, what would be your dying Make-A-Wish Foundation wish if you were to die?
Well, see, I'm a bit of a picky kind of bastard. Not that I think it's necessarily achievable. It's not just like, I'd have a cheeseburger or whatever. I would really love to be taken through some sort of... immersive production, like a certain immersive experience that's focused on...
I thought it'd be to lose your virginity.
No, you think, right? You think. But no, to be taken through or experience this really enchanting, beautiful, mystifying, sort of fantastical experience, something that's ripped, that sort of combines aspects of, the beauty and fantasy of like Game of Thrones or like Lord of the Rings, and just be put in a place, like...
So you want to go to Disneyland with a Game of Thrones exhibit? Is that what you say? I don't understand what you mean.
In a certain sense, yeah. Like, not Game of Thrones particularly, but you think of those fantastical places that we see portrayed in fiction, in film, television. Something like that, but with also a mystifying sort of beauty to it as well. I want to be in a place where I can look around and just feel in wonder of the place I'm in. And that's the experience I want, just to be able to be at my end and be just marveled. At a world that can be created, the extent at which we can impact our emotional capacities.
I think if you send that to Make-A-Wish, they'd be like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
That's all. So I'd have to put a little portfolio together. They'd be like, a slide deck with all the different reference imagery. But that's what I mean. I would like to be marveled.
Okay.
I'd like to be in my last days. I'd like to be blown away by something.
Fair enough.
What would be your dying wish?
Well, I was thinking...
And why would it be to get your virginity back?
Well, I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, what's something that I haven't done that I do want to do quite a lot and would be doable in my dying wish state? And something I haven't done is gone to a massive festival. So I said, go to Glastonbury.
Yeah, yeah.
Would be a good dying wish for me right now.
Yeah, that'd be good, man. Way more achievable than mine. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck yours was. But yeah, go to Glastonbury would be it. All right, that's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for being here, Connor.
Wait, why Glastonbury, not Tomorrowland?
What?
Tomorrowland, the big EDM festival, Tomorrowland?
Because I don't like EDM music.
Now you're getting picky too.
Oh
no, but I, I, it's a good one. Yeah, I mean, going to a festival and all that would be, that'd be an experience for sure.
Yeah, totally. You know, and then not, especially Glastonbury, it's not just comedy. You've got like, sorry, it's not just music.
Comedy.
It's not just music. It has comedy. It has art. Like, there's like clowns. There's all sorts of mad shit at Glastonbury. It'd be good
hey, man,
fun.
You should go to Burning Man.
Yeah, if I wasn't dying, I'd do maybe do that as well, but not on my last go. Yeah. all right, our last track tonight is by a band called The Hazy Tones, and this song's called Fool's Paradise off their self-titled album. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back, not next week, but the week after with a special episode, and then our final episode, episode 80, will be out the week after, so please join us for those. Otherwise, have a great fortnight, and we'll hear from you very soon. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night.
You're running. CIA.